All right, as I promised you earlier, you have a special treat. Steve Deischer will deliver the message.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think singing that hymn, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, Look Full in His Wonderful Face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." Isn't that a great way to start a message? All right? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
How easy it is to say He is risen, right? But have you ever doubted Christ's resurrection? Okay. Have you ever doubted your own salvation? Why do we doubt our salvation when we can so easily say He is risen? Why should we doubt? Yeah. Anyhow, I questioned my salvation for many years because I felt overwhelmed by the guilt of my sin. I doubted my salvation because I believed I had committed an unforgivable sin. Is there such a thing as an unforgivable sin?
Yes.
But Matthew 12:31 says, "Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people." So how can there be an unforgiven sin?
Blaspheme the Holy Spirit.
Right, that's the second part of this Bible verse, okay? So. But blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. All right, when we deny the Holy Spirit, when we deny our Lord. I mean, that's, you know. But some people worry that they have accidentally committed blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Okay? I looked up a synonym for blasphemy. What's another word for blasphemy? Right, cursing. And I found in the dictionary profanity, desecration, cussing, cursing. You know, I know how to curse. I know how to curse in Pennsylvania Dutch, too. Pretty good, okay? I remember when a person asked my father, you know, "Do you pray?" And my father said, "Well, I just hope the Lord understands Pennsylvania Dutch," okay? But I think the Lord understands prayers in all languages. But anyhow, but know that only those who have turned their back totally on God need to worry, okay? Even though I've, you know, been a cusser, okay? I try not to cuss too much anymore. But, you know, Jesus says those people, you know, that have turned their back totally on the Holy Spirit can't be forgiven because they'll never ask for forgiveness. And if you ever not ask for forgiveness, you know, that's blasphemy. So, but I doubted my salvation for many years because I thought I had committed an unforgivable sin. I did start out good in my life. My faith weakened. Okay, doubt, uncertainty, mistrust crept into my mind. I was fearful and afraid. I doubted Christ's ability to help me. Actually, anxiety and depression took over my life. I had felt I had committed an unforgivable sin. I just kept beating myself up year after year after year. I used to believe I was in control of my life. I don't know, did any of you used to believe that? But anyhow, trouble came my way. I learned the hard way that I wasn't in charge. During my trial, I tried for years to regain control. In an attempt to put the pieces of my life back together, I resorted to manipulating people and manipulating circumstances to fix the matters that I was dealing with. This was not a peaceful time in my life. God used my helplessness, my weakness, to pain broke my pride. I came out of my trial a changed man, recognizing that God alone controls all things. It took me a long time to get to that point. I used to blame God for my troubles. I tried to find my own way out of trouble, not God's way. It doesn't work, okay? I finally realized that my weakness was an opportunity to rely on God and to let Him work out His plan for me. True peace came when I came to trust God and realize how little control I had, not only over my difficult times, but also over my good times as well. True peace came when I submitted to God's will, when I totally submitted to God's will. I enjoy singing "I Surrender All," okay? I wrote a story about my weaknesses. I wrote a story about the trial I went through, thinking I had lost my salvation, thinking I'll never get to heaven. My story was published in the Spring 2021 LifeDate Journal. That's actually a ministry that grew out of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, okay, Lutherans for Life. And it's a shared ministry now with the AFLC and the LCMC and that. So let me read the article that I wrote about how I came to be saved. In the article, entitled it, One Man's Story of Grief and Grace. Okay? There was a trial in my life that lasted a long time. I became full of self-pity and bitterness. I was really angry at God. And trusting God was quite challenging for me. You see, I thought I was in control of my life. My story? I was born October the 8th, 1954. I was blessed to be raised on our fourth generation family dairy farm in Kempton, Pennsylvania. Our family worshiped at New Bethel Lutheran Church. In 1972, I went away to college and started running with a different crowd. One thing led to another. I got my girlfriend pregnant. It was 1975, and the Roe v. Wade decision had been made 2 years earlier. We were told abortion was a safe, simple, legal medical procedure. We were told it's just a mass of cells, just a fertilized egg, and that life really doesn't start until birth. There was an abortion. Such relief. That was the first stage. But the relief started to wear off and denial began. Guilt started to set in. Why didn't you, a father, protect your child? Why didn't you speak up? I kept telling myself it wasn't a baby. Around 1980, I started to move out of denial. But my anger was increasing. My girlfriend was now my first wife. I asked God, why didn't you stop me from agreeing with the decision to have an abortion? There was pain. Anger was affecting every relationship I had, including with God. I tried to become a super husband. To cope with the situation, I had to prove my worth. I worked long hours helping to build a grocery business, eventually becoming a partner and vice president. I made lots of money, worked way too many hours. I kept keeping myself busy so I wouldn't have to deal with the truth about the abortion and my part in the killing of my child. Often I would pray and confess to God my part in the abortion, only then to be unable to forgive myself. I would then pick my sin back up from the foot of the cross and carry my sin on my back without Christ's help. I'll never get to heaven. I've committed an unforgivable sin. My anxiety increased, my depression worsened, I was unconsciously punishing myself and denying myself many things because I felt I didn't deserve them. I was accident prone, not taking proper care of myself. I lost my business. I got divorced. Driving alone one night for hours, I didn't know where to go. I fell asleep and hit a telephone pole. I wasn't wearing a seatbelt. Flew out of my seat, sheared off the rearview mirror, and almost broke out through the windshield of my car. I was taken via ambulance to Lehigh Valley Hospital Center. When I woke up the next morning, I prayed. Thankful that while I was sore, swollen, bruised, and had many stitches, there were no broken bones, there was no internal bleeding. Shortly after the driving accident, I met a very special woman. Found a job, got married, children were born. In a few short years, I was again a business executive and a partner in a thriving business. My pride was overflowing. But now, in addition to trying to be a super husband to my second wife, I tried to be a super dad to my children. I would work at my job and at home at two speeds. The good deeds I was doing were trying to earn my way back to God's favor. Inside my mind kept telling me, I'm a condemned man. I've committed an unforgivable sin. I'll never get to heaven. The guilt, the pain, kept increasing. My thoughts were scaring me, thoughts of suicide. It was now 2016. God, how old would my baby, my son or my daughter be today? What would he or she look like today? Would my child have black hair and brown eyes like me, or would my child have blonde hair and blue eyes like his or her mother? At the 2018 Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, the conference in Dickinson, North Dakota, Lutherans for Life had a booth there. Reverend Michael Salamick gave several talks on abortion. That night I was in tears, finally grieving and crying for my child. Shortly thereafter, I was able to talk to my pastor about the abortion. Let me divert from this a little bit. You guys on the men's choir, do you remember when we were trying to sing Your Grace Still Amazes Me? Okay, Ernie. What's your name? Dennis. Billy, Bruce. Remember how I couldn't get through that? I don't know if you guys were wondering why I was bawling, you know. But when you realize you're touched by God's grace and you want to sing about it, anyhow. Well, let me get back to it. I ran to the Bible, the Word of God, for help. Jesus talked to me through the Bible. God is great. Christ is a most wonderful counselor. The healing was there all the time. Folks, go to the Bible. It's there. Jesus is a wonderful counselor. God gave me the strength to confess my sin to him, which I was doing over and over again, and talk to others about the abortion. It's important for me to share. You know, if you think, you know, even if you're not suffering from an abortion, folks, if you think you've committed an unforgivable sin, you haven't. Anyhow, a 42-year trial came to an end. I now had hope. One of my many favorite Bible verses here. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. Forgiveness brought me true joy. When I asked God to forgive my sin and trusted him to do it, and finally forgave myself, I think that's such a key. I found true peace and relief from my guilt. Guilt was having its way with me. But folks, guilt, Jesus specializes in guilt removal. Another one of my favorite Bible verses. Don't ask me to pick out my favorite Bible verse. There's too many, okay? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. Through Jesus, God solved the mess I made with my life. I received grace for all my sins as a gift from God. I can't earn it. And once I receive it, I can't lose it. After the abortion, it was hard to imagine that God could ever forgive me. Shame and regret and the devil. Welcome to the devil, right? The devil had twisted my road to God's grace. Can't face tomorrow? Can't forgive your past? Christ promises to forgive if you confess. It's that simple. God keeps his promises. And one final Bible verse that I put into this article. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. Are you depressed over your past? Worried about tomorrow, fearing the future? God, who is in total control of all things, is involved in our lives every single day. He's involved in our lives every single day, everything. He knows exactly what we need. Everything that happens to me, everything that happens to you, you know, in our lives, God knows about it, all right? And he has control over it. Submit to his control, okay? Romans 8:28. Here's another one of my favorite Bible verses. Okay, there are a lot of them, all right? And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Often I think, why did I have to go through this? There's a reason why God put me through this trial, okay? There's a reason why God puts you through trials. Be patient. Pray, okay? So you've sinned, made a big mess of your life. All right? Jesus can handle all of our messes, every single one of them, if we go to him. You know, get on your knees. Get on your knees. Tell God how you feel. Tell him about your anger. Tell him about your hurts. He can handle it. All right? It's important that you talk to him. That's what it's all about. Tell him about, you know, your pain, your desires. It's okay. Ask him, you know, to meet your needs. Tell him about your desires. If it's in accordance with his will, you know, he answers all prayers. Sometimes he answers no. Romans 5:6-8. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man. Perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, which we all are, Christ died for us. I was weak and helpless because I could do nothing on my own to save myself. I tried, okay? My good works could not save me. Doesn't work that way, all right? Jesus rescued me. We just celebrated Easter. Reflect on the power of the cross. Feels good to sing at the cross. Reflect on the power of the empty tomb. Reflect on the power of his resurrection. know that you're saved. This is how the power of Christ, the power of Jesus, dwells in us all, if we truly believe and follow and obey our Savior. I'm getting near the end here. Romans 8, verses 38 to 39. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We worry so much about the path of our country, status of things in our culture, things that are happening. It can get us so upset. But how great is it that we have a risen Lord, and we know we're all going to be together in heaven one day. So whatever happens here on earth can't separate us from that. I mean, yes, we have to speak up. We have to vote for the right people and do all we can. And in spite of that, when we get frustrated that things still aren't going our way, you know, so there's a reason why God's putting us through these trials. But we don't have to be scared. Christ suffered a horrific death on the cross for you, for each and every one of you, for me too. Christ died on the cross for you. Salvation, you know, deliverance from sin, damnation, you know, deliverance from sin and damnation is God's gift to us by grace. It's God's gift to us by grace, through faith, through faith. Jesus Christ paid the full penalty for our sins. No one can condemn you, okay? Not the person sitting next to you, you know, if they think lowly of you or how could you do that, you know, or whatever. Well, then pray for them, okay? No one can condemn you. You know, don't let the devil condemn you, all right? And don't let yourself condemn you, you know, like I did for so many years. So, I mean, isn't Jesus great?
Amen.